Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 100, and the fourth verse. The subject is thanksgiving. And it should be one that will cause every sinner born again some searchings of heart, because every one of us who has that mercy to be born again will honestly own that our thanksgiving is not what it really ought to be. When we are helped at times to remember the way God has led us, when we do begin to count our blessings, it is very evident that our thanksgiving is very scanty compared with what it should be. The Word of God tells us, "This people have I formed for myself." They shall, mark the word shall, Jehovah shall, they shall show forth my praise. And again you read, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Does it ever come over you along life's way the magnitude of the mercy that you and I, we do humbly hope, many of us, have been made to differ from the world at large? And God has made known his mercy to us. And it can be said, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. Oh, the magnitude of that mercy. Surely it should overwhelm us that out of the mighty mass of mankind, hundreds of millions of poor sinners bound for an eternal destiny, heaven or hell, God has set our feet in the way of life with, as we humbly hope, heaven awaiting us at the end of it. And now I want, as the Lord shall help me, to look at this subject from two or three viewpoints of it. It is said to be a psalm of praise. And there are many psalms of praise. And the psalmist, whoever he was, the Spirit of God has not recorded his name. But the line of things he was inspired to pen in the little psalm, you and I should lay to heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Do think of that word, dear friends. I will read it again. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And now that should be the attitude of worship. As you gather together to worship God in the house of prayer. In our worship, You should not be just sitting churned up with all your miseries and ready to say, I am the man that has seen affliction, as though no one else thought of God had got such affliction as God has laid upon you, whatever the nature of it may be. There should be in our worship some gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I have often wondered, I do have many thoughts journeying on, and I have often wondered that in our denominational life, we always announce a prayer meeting. And now why not a praise meeting? Praise should become us when we consider it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. Oh, there should be some gladness in our worship. And however miserable, I'm not fitting any caps on, I'm only telling you the truth. However miserable you may feel in the attitude of worship, things could be worse than they are. And that is one thing you should be glad about and say thank you to God. I have already told you, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. You may say, oh, I often come miserable, dwelling on my case. What you are doing is to descend into your own heart, as it were, and view matters there, forgetting what the hymn writer says, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. And you may say, I come miserable, and in the worship of God I do not always get what I should like to get. I certainly do not feel to get much gladness, and sometimes I go on my way miserable. And now, let us get down to bedrock about that. What is it in you that makes you have such an experience and that such feelings well up in your breast? Do they spring from what you are by nature? The thing is impossible. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And even that experience wherein you feel miserable regarding your interest in the things of God, you could not feel that unless you were born again. Therefore, you should have a little gladness coming into your heart also, that God has made you what you are and where you are. And when you come to what saith the Scriptures, there is the prospect of better days for you as you are helped to wait on God. You might think of this word, dear friends, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. We do that. But then there is this to be considered, sing ye praises with understanding, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And then this dear psalmist goes on, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. You will say, I know what your objection will be. If I could be sure I was one of his people, if I could be sure I was one of the sheep, I could then, offer gladness, but I just want to be made sure about that. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And now, looking at the subject, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. First of all, I want to look at these gates. What these gates are in a gospel interpretation, because the psalmist is referring to the Church of Christ. And in the Church of Christ, there are gates. And sinners born again are welcome to enter into those gates, and to do so with thanksgiving, that they are opened for them to enter in. You find in Isaiah a word, and a good word it is, where it says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates. This is addressed to those ordained to preach the gospel. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. This should be your concern. Not so often in your approaches to God to be dwelling on your miseries, but recording your mercies. Do suffer that word of exhortation. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And now there is one gate, if you were concerned to do this, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, there is one gate you have already entered, otherwise you would not feel as you do. And that gate is the straight gate. The Saviour said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And now it is good that you should be concerned to be amongst that few that enter in. Oh, what a great mercy it is to be born again. And I can tell you another thing. What a great mercy it is, a very great mercy, to want to be born again. And that might help some of you dear young people who may sometimes feel that the preacher goes down too deep for you, or the things are that which you cannot altogether enter into as you would like to, and do not fully understand them, and you hardly know what you are or where you are. But I say again, it is a very great mercy to want to be born again, because it denotes that you are. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. You remember the prodigal long ago, and he began to be in want. And it may be quite a few of you know what that want is, and what would satisfy it. Nothing else can satisfy. Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, that is a wonderful want to be the subject of. And only those who have entered in through the straight gate are the subjects of it. Therefore, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And then the psalmist speaks about the gate of righteousness. Open to me the gate of righteousness, I will enter therein. And you and I must enter through that gate too, or we shall never, never enter the gates of pearl. No, no. You and I must be made righteous before God. And that righteousness alone must be the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. How do poor sinners enter in? The hymn writer does give you encouragement. If guilt disturb thy peace, or Satan harass thee, behold the Saviour's righteousness, which sets the guilty free. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The gates of righteousness. There is another gate. And you must admit, I want, as the Lord shall help me, to get right down as low as the gospel allows me to do, that even the little ones might get a little help by the way. And now you must admit that you have entered into this gate, notwithstanding all your misery at times that you dwell upon altogether too much and too long, forgetting the manifold mercies God has bestowed upon you, which encourage you to hope in God that he will still show you yet more of his favor than he has already been pleased to do. And now this gate is what I like to call the beautiful gate of the temple, the gate of communion. In other words, when you try to pray, and whatever your thoughts are about your condition before God and your soul's experience, and I might tell you there is a great danger you may fall into, and that is to belittle it, and the devil will help you in that sad business, calling into question what evidences you hope God has given you and seeking to aid you in belittling the same. Oh, James will tell you here, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. If God has done ever such a little for your soul, you should treasure it up. Prize it. Ask God for more. And do not fall a prey to what your own evil heart of unbelief may suggest about it, and question it, but enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And now, this gate of communion, do you mean to tell me, you who try to pray, that you cannot say at times, it is good for me to draw near to God? You say, I hope I do know what that is, blessed be God. Sometimes, alas, the times are few and far between. This is the point. If you know what that is, you're inside the gate. You're in the city. Yes. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The gates of communion. What a wonderful thing it is that man can commune with God. And what a bigger wonder still it is that God can commune with man. Sweet communion, which charms the soul and gives true peace and joy. This beautiful gate of the temple that you read about in the Acts of the Apostles, where the lame man was found, and when Peter looked upon him and helped him and granted him healing in the name of the Lord. It was a gate whereby only Jews could enter. No Gentile could enter it. On that beautiful gate there was a notice: no stranger must pass this gate. under pain of death. And not even the Jewish women were allowed to enter it and worship. Remember that. So while it was a beautiful gate to look at, as being man's workmanship, it does not altogether set forth this beautiful gate of communion I am dwelling on. No. Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, be ye Jew or Gentile, whatever nationality, whatever color his skin, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." You dwell on that word "no wise." It will help you. You may have varied objections that rise up in your mind, and the devil will blow with his bellows on them like the fire and fan them into a flame till you are ready to conclude God will have nothing whatever to do with such a sinner as you are. Oh, these thoughts are very God dishonoring. You should let God speak for himself, dear friends. And you should believe what God has to say about it. Search and see in the dealings of God. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. And God will not begin with you as one who is sent back. Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And do remember what you sing about. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need, he's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, the gates of communion. When you can draw near to God and pour out your sighs and cries and groans and find sweet relief in doing so, then you can say, "Blessed be God, for he hath heard my prayer, nor turned away his mercy from me." But then there is another gate. And I mean the gate of worship. I have already hinted at it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Don't you think there should be thanksgiving that you have got a cause of truth to enter into and gather together as a little family before God, and many of you to feel one with God and one with each other in worship, realizing the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? We should not forget what our forefathers did 160 odd years ago, when our cause of truth was built. It was a small beginning, but it has grown since then, and under Union Chapel roof there has always been a people desiring to serve God. And there are many, oh, how many God only knows, in the realms of bliss, who when they dwelt on earth used to worship God aright in our cause of truth. And we think of them where they are. The memory of the just is blessed. Aye, but here the thanksgiving should come in particularly. Are we not, we humbly hope, followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises? Enter into his gates, gates of worship. Not only to go through the routine of whatever the service may be, but to get down to the reality of it. Remembering, what is the house to me unless the master I can see? And remember, this will be as long as time shall be. There will be no alteration in God's order of worship. For he has said, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, and ye shall reverence my sanctuary. It is not for folk to be sitting at home, looking at television, or hearing radio religion, and think they can enter into the gates of the city of God with thanksgiving on that basis. No, no. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Enter into his gates, gates of worship, with thanksgiving. And you might think, in gathering together to worship God, how you came to be here at all. I mean, to call to mind his all-wise providence that has ordered your steps to be under Union Chapel roof, when in your earlier life you had no thought whatever of being where you are at the present time. You are not to take these things for granted. It is nothing whatever to do with chance or haphazard. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Yes, think how I, as the pastor, was a Berkshire man, and having to live most of my life, biggest part of it, in Kent, with no thought in my youthful mind as a teenager that I should ever be moved from the county where I was born, but live therein and die there. No, no, the sovereignty of God overrules, and the cloud moves, and you follow it. And when you are brought to where the cloud moves you, and that is where the manna falls, in the worship of God, you should enter into his gates with thanksgiving that you are where you are, and what you are. God has granted you a spiritual home where you can gather with his dear people and meet in his courts week in, week out, and dwell together in unity. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And I like to think about the gates of remembrance. I know you talk about bad memories, but I do not receive it. And the Word of God confirms me in what I feel about that, because the Spirit of God, who inspired the Word of God, has said, he shall bring all things to your remembrance. He will help you to bring back into your mind, as it were, what you have forgotten, helps and hopes that you had in the early dealings of God with you. Oh, it is good to remember the way the Lord thy God has led thee. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The psalmist said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. It is good when you get a little meditation. I hope sometimes some of you do get a little of it. Prize it when you do. And when you find the Spirit of God helping you to call to remembrance the former days, do dwell on it, make the most of it, and at the end of it, say thank you to God. Enter into his gates, gates of remembrance, with thanksgiving. You say, I wish I could do it. But alas, I cannot call much to remembrance. But then, God can help you. And if you wait on Him and enter into His gates with thanksgiving, He will give you yet more than ever you have had before to remember how His goodness and mercy have followed you along. Have you no words? Oh, think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creatures here with this sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, your grateful song would oftener be, "Hear what the Lord hath done for me." And how glad other people thought of God would be to hear it. And you flow together to the goodness of the Lord, and it helps brotherly love to continue. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. There is also the gate of testimony that follows on, entering into the gate of remembrance. What you are helped to remember, you should tell out to people with ears to hear it. Especially, the father to the children shall make known thy truth, Ezekiah said. And the psalmist declares, tell it to the generation following. Do you realize that a godly father and a godly mother can, as grace is given, tell the children in the family circle somewhat of the dealings of God? And although it may be they do not seem to show much attention in listening to it, who can tell? Bread cast upon the water shall be found again after many days. Oh, there is the gate of testimony. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will tell you what He hath done for my soul. You can enter through that gate and do it with thanksgiving before the Church of Christ too, and make known to His dear people therein the dealings of God with you. And when you are helped to do that, there is only one welcome you will get. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And as I pondered this subject, I thought of another gate. I'm going to call it Inspiration Gate. Do you know what gate that is? Think of the Word of God. Think how God spake all these words. And when you get a little help from God to search the Scriptures, and they're opened up to you, you can enter in to varied experiences set forth in the sacred pages and encourage your soul in God. And what you get from the Word of God as you enter in through Inspiration Gate, enter into the Scriptures with a living interest therein, will abide for time and eternity too. And in days to come, when you may be tried and tempted, you can call that to mind and plead it before God. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Yes. Godly David said, I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And then think of the gospel. And what a wonderful gate that is. Sometimes in listening to it, when the power of God accompanies it, and it sets forth what you have tasted, handled, and felt of the good word of life, you enter into the gates of the gospel, and you can say, the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. And you see, you're inside the city when they find you. We do not go round about outside the city. No. We are prepared to preach the gospel to every creature But to preach the gospel, we have got to delineate the characters who will hear the gospel and prize it and get everlasting benefit from it, which is not the man in the street as he is born. No, no. It is poor sinners born again who alone will enter into the gospel and realize its power and preciousness. And it is said of them, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You must admit, some of you, remember what I said earlier, do not belittle your religion. And you must remember, some of you, helps you have got under the gospel. Whoever the preacher was, it does not matter. No. And they saw no man save Jesus only. But the gospel was made to you effectual at the time you heard it. And it touched a chord in your soul's feelings. And you could feel as you wanted to feel. And you were confirmed then that you were one who possessed an ear to hear and a heart to receive. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And remember, you should say thank you to God for the gospel itself. And you should say thank you to God that he still raises up men and sends them to preach it. Because wherever he does send men to preach it, he is going to make the gospel effectual to poor sinners wherever he ordains they shall preach. I do love that declaration in the gospels where it is said that Jesus sent forth the 70 two by two to preach in all places whither he himself would come. And you can be sure if God ordains a man to preach, he has got a work for that man to do. And he will live to do it. And God will bless him, bless his labors to his own honor and glory as the church's living head. Oh, we should prize the gospel more than we do. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings points to heaven and shows the road. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And now, there is the gate of fellowship. There is not only communion with God. The Church of England folks say, not that they know much about it that say it, I believe in the communion of saints. You and I do too. In a right way. When we get in touch with a brother or sister who can tell out the dealings of God, there is the unity of the Spirit, known and felt. What is called the fellowship of the saints. And you enter into it through that gate. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And they should do it a great deal more than they do. Yes. How often do you do it? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And I might just say one word about another gate, and that is, in the Proverbs you read of wisdom's gates. And now in everyday life, as you come into difficulties, and there are matters on which you need heavenly light, there is this gate of wisdom awaiting you. You are welcome to enter into it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And now I read to you in the Revelations of that beautiful vision which was given to godly John. And there it says concerning that New Jerusalem, holy city, that the gates into it, every several gate was one pearl. You must not just think that is figurative language. I know that it is, but it is there with a purpose. And now, every several gate was one pearl. And that is to draw our thoughts to the pearl of great price. And that brings us back to all these gates. Whichever gate, I've tried to say just a little on. And that is, as you enter into these gates, you must enter therein with a desire. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And remember, all these gates are open through what Jesus Christ is as the sinner's friend and what he has done in love's redeeming work and what he is still doing as he reigns on the throne of grace on high. And that means that in entering into these gates, you must seek to exhibit the Spirit of Christ. Think of that word. I wish it could be more often thought on in our denominational life. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But the word of God says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Yes. And here this word goes on, although I have no time to open it up as I should like to do. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And now, be thankful unto him and bless his name. And one thing impressed me as I thought on this subject, and God help you to think on it, to purpose. Whatever your case may be, whatever your circumstances are, as you think of Jesus Christ, you will find he has a name recorded in the Word of God exactly to meet your case, your circumstances. You as a poor sinner, desiring to know your own interest in Calvary's cross and what was done thereon, bless his name. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When you walk in darkness and have no light, bless his name, for it is said unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And when you feel in need of a Savior, and as Isaiah declares, a Savior of quick understanding, bless his name because it is declared. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. When storms beat upon you from within and from without, bless his name as that refuge for sinners which the gospel makes known. And when you, desiring to be numbered with his sheep or among his lambs, bless his name inasmuch as he has declared, I am the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And when sometimes you look within and look so long that your sins rise mountains high, And you say, depth of mercy, can there be mercy for a wretch like me? Bless his name, for he is declared to be a God ready to pardon. You can follow that line of thought in your meditations. But in whatever name you approach the throne of grace to plead, remember there is one name that is outstanding over all, and that is Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. What he has done for poor sinners yesterday, the Savior is doing the same today. He will be doing it tomorrow. And you can be thankful unto him as you seek his divine aid. And remember, they who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And you might remember this. Bless God the Father for sending his dear Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Bless the dear Son of God for so willingly coming down into this poor, troubled world to do love's redeeming work, that there might be a door of mercy opened in heaven, and these gates wherein you can enter into the Church of Christ as grace is given. And do not forget to bless the Holy Spirit for making these things known in the word of his grace and making them known in your own soul's experience. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And the psalmist sums it up like this: for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And under Union Chapel roof, there has been found 5 generations to whom his truth endureth. The Lord help you to think on these things. Amen.
Amen.
Upon us and upon all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.